says in verse 9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Where does the fear of the Lord come but through the work of the Spirit of grace in the heart? That glory may dwell in our land. Where you see glory, think of Christ, who is the very glory of God. How is it that he dwells among sinners? It's only in that salvation that he came and worked out. That's why it says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. It's repeated again, his salvation, thy salvation. When people sometimes ask me, well, can a Christian lose their salvation? Well, just the way you ask the question, you have to say yes. When you say their salvation, you think they have done something about it? There was no salvation at all. That's going away. But none can lose his salvation, because from eternity he purposed it, and the Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time and accomplished it, and now the Spirit of God reveals it. That can never be lost. It's not a point in time. Faith is not a point in time. Faith is a persuasion of the heart. And therefore, like repentance, it must be a continual, ongoing work of the Spirit, causing us to believe and causing us to continue to come to Christ and to continue to bow as he gives light. I know that's not a definition that you hear in religion, because everybody's wanting you to put a date down in your Bible and nail it down and drive the stake. And anytime you have a doubt, go back to that date. That's idolatry. It's just plain and simple idolatry. We don't look to a date. We don't look to a moment. We don't look to a time of our profession. We look to Christ, because God has been pleased to reveal it. And what I don't know of Christ, I pray he'll teach me now. I pray that he'll open these eyes, give me understanding of who he is, that I might bow one more time. There's no shame in continuing to bow and repenting of every false way. Because, dear friends, we're going to do it by God's grace as long as we live. As long as we live. Look over here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I've got a lot more here than what we'll be able to cover. And I'm not going to worry about it. We'll just go along here. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Look how this is described here. Paul said of the Philippians, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a beginning, yes. There's an opening of these eyes to Christ. There's an understanding that he gives that we were lost without hope, without help, until Christ opened our eyes and caused us to look to him and to his work that he accomplished at Calvary. But even as he's continued to teach, we understand more and more. I hope that you are more fully persuaded now than you ever were of the necessity of that accomplished work of Christ at Calvary. Her masters saw that hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. If you want to trouble people, mess with their money. Religion is big business, in case you didn't know. Just look at the millions of dollars that people pour into resurrecting again their places of worship. Most recently, Notre Dame, that is an icon and in men's minds a place that God would honor if they rebuilt. And they're taking billions of dollars to rebuild and try to make it, put it back the way it was. God took it down. I know I'll get a bunch of people mad hearing that, but that fire didn't start by chance. And yet, what do men do? They scurry around like ants, going about to try to rebuild their little anthill once it's been taken out of the way.